Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, November 25th, as the Ethiopian Prime Minister rejects calls for dialogue in escalating Tigray conflict, church leaders in the region appeal for peace. As the number of coronavirus infections in France decreases, the bishops call for support for the faithful in places of worship. And Pope Francis reflects on prayer in the early life of the church and the history of God's people. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Ethiopia's Prime Minister has rejected international calls for dialogue and a halt to the fighting in the Tigray. Violence erupted in the region a month ago between Ethiopian government forces and Tigray militants, causing hundreds of refugees and strong fears of an escalation to war. Nathan Morley reports.
Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed's office urged the international community to refrain from what they described as any unwelcome and unlawful acts of interference in this conflict. The statement came just hours before a deadline for the surrender of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, or TPLF, expires, after which federal troops have been ordered to attack its capital. Just 2 weeks ago, Abiy Ahmed deployed the National Army on an offensive against local troops in Tigray after accusing them of attacking federal troops. He said the military would bring an end to the fighting in the region and remove its leadership, which his government considers to be illegal. Now his forces are swiftly approaching Mekele, a city of 500,000 people. As it stands, the TPLF still refuses to surrender its rule. The group said its forces would stand firm as soldiers continue to dig trenches and prepare fortifications. Over the last few weeks, thousands of people have died and more than 30,000 refugees have fled to Sudan. Reports now suggest this conflict is already spilling into Eritrea and destabilizing the wider Horn of Africa. The United Nations, for their part, are hoping to raise $200 million to cover food, shelter and other urgent needs of refugees, with plans to help up to 200,000 people over the next 6 months. Officials in Addis Ababa, the Ethiopian capital, have described the offensive in Tigray as a law enforcement operation which aims to remove treacherous rebel leaders and restore central authority. The TPLF says it's defending its legitimate rights under Ethiopia's devolved constitutional system. The UN Security Council scheduled, cancelled, then rescheduled its first meeting to discuss the situation on Tuesday as African and European nations argued over holding a debate. The EU, which is a major donor to Ethiopia, also expressed concern at the situation. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Meanwhile, the bishops of Eritrea have appealed for peace in Ethiopia's troubled Tigray region, stressing that there are no winners in war. Father Benedict Mayaki tells us more.
The bishops of Eritrea have expressed their deep sadness over the conflicts between Ethiopia's federal government and the regional government of the Tigray state. They are appealing for peace and a cessation of the destructive hostilities. In a recent statement, the Eritrean bishop said that war is anti-life and anti-development. It kills, maims, destroys, displaces, and sows lasting grievances among people. This, according to the bishops, is why Pope St. John Paul II said that war does not have any meaningful value and is always unjust. The bishops further pointed out that the consequences of war are a self-evident truth to the world, especially to the peoples in the Horn of Africa. Nonetheless, conflict sadly persists unabated. Outlining the pillars of peace as truth, justice, love and freedom, the bishops stressed their importance to the situation. They said that truth assures individual rights, safeguards the common good and protects the rights of others. Justice, for its part, incentivizes progress to build peace. At the same time, love instills empathy for the needs of others and freedom allows people to assume their obligation in contributing to the development of peace. To achieve peace, therefore, the bishop stressed that there must be respect for human dignity and human rights. In this regard, peace and truth become connected through the transmission of true and correct information and a transparent democratic process that guarantees the participation of all citizens. Tensions escalated in Ethiopia's Tigray region in August after the Abiy Ahmed-led government rescheduled national elections till next year because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Tigray leaders, alleging that the postponement was the Prime Minister's strategy to prolong his stay in office, organized their own elections in September. The Ethiopian government, in retaliation, placed sanctions on the Tigray state and on the 4th of November announced a military offensive against Tigray. So far, several hundreds have been killed in the violent conflict and over 200,000 Ethiopians have fled for their lives into neighboring Sudan. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
Today marks the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. The day was established in 1999 by the General Assembly of the United Nations and is held every year on the 25th of November. The day is also known as Orange Day because the colour orange is recognised across the world as that chosen by the United Nations gender equality body, UN Women, to symbolise a future without violence against women. This date was chosen to commemorate the brutal killing of the Mirabal sisters, political activists in the Dominican Republic. On the 25th of November 1960, they went to visit their husbands in prison, where they were stopped on the road by military intelligence officers. They were tortured and killed, and their death was made to seem like an accident. It was immediately obvious, however, to the public that the Mirabal sisters had been murdered, and the ensuing rebellion soon led to the death of the country's dictator. The sisters became symbols of both popular and feminist resistance. France will start to ease its COVID-19 lockdown this weekend ahead of the Christmas holidays. But in a statement, the French Bishops' Conference has expressed disappointment at measures concerning the resumption of public worship and is calling for clarification on the matter. Lydia O'Kane reports.
The worst of the second wave of the coronavirus is over. Those were the words of French President Emmanuel Macron as he gave a televised address to the nation on Tuesday evening. But he also warned we must do everything to avoid a third lockdown. With that in mind, he said restaurants, cafes and bars would stay shut until January the 20th to avoid triggering a third wave. This gradual easing of curbs means that from Saturday, November the 28th, shops will reopen following a month-long lockdown imposed on October the 30th. In mid-December, the lockdown will be lifted if the number of new cases has fallen to around 5,000 a day, and people will be free to travel across the country to see family and friends over the Christmas period. Theatres and cinemas will also be allowed to open their doors again. France registered over 9,000 cases on Tuesday and crossed the 50,000 deaths milestone. However, not everyone is happy with the new arrangements. The French Bishops' Conference said in a statement, the announcement of a resumption of public ceremonies with a maximum of 30 people was both disappointing and surprising. The statement went on to say that the matter was discussed in a phone call between the French President and the President of the Bishops' Conference, Archbishop Eric de Moulin-Beaufort. The Archbishop tweeted on Tuesday evening that Catholic voices were not heard and the conference was asking that the measure be revised. In an updated statement on Wednesday, the Bishop said it appears that a realistic yet strict measure will be defined by Thursday morning for implementation in two stages, Saturday the 28th of November and then after the reassessment of the 15th of December. It is in this perspective that the French Episcopal Conference continues its dialogue with the offices of the Prime Minister and the Minister of the Interior. French Prime Minister Jean Castex is due to hold a press briefing Thursday morning to detail Emmanuel Macron's announcement concerning the gradual lifting of restrictions. So, for the time being, while the resumption of public worship in France is now a certainty, the way it is implemented continues to be subject to adjustments. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
The Holy See's representative through the United Nations recently attended the launch of a book on interreligious dialogue which took place in Saudi Arabia. In his speech, Archbishop Ivan Jurkovic reflected on how fraternity, justice and dialogue are all necessary for the pursuit of peace and religious freedom. Devin Watkins reports.
Archbishop Ivan Jurkovic recently took part in the presentation of a book entitled The Promotion of Intercultural and Interreligious Dialogue as an Instrument of Peace and Fraternity. In a speech to the event in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, the permanent observer to the UN in Geneva explored three golden threads running through the book: human fraternity, justice, and dialogue as a tool for peace. Human fraternity, said Archbishop Jurkovic, is an idea which has the capacity to urge nations to overcome all forms of ideology, national self-interest, and racism. Noting that no society is completely religiously homogeneous, Archbishop Jurkovic said religions emit a polychromatic light which illumines each in a non-conflictual vision. He pointed to the sharp contrast between a civilization of encounter and an incivility of conflict which present no middle path. Turning to the theme of justice, Archbishop Jurkovic said that when justice triumphs, peace reigns. Both, he added, require each person's human rights and equal dignity to be safeguarded. Religious freedom, said Archbishop Yurkovich, tops the list of inviolable human rights because it is based on people's inherent necessity to nourish their spirit. He also spoke about the distinction between religious tolerance and religious freedom. Tolerance, noted the Vatican representative, has a negative connotation of putting up with others' differences rather than appreciating them in mutual respect. He said a more fruitful path may be the dynamic concept of human brotherhood. Archbishop Yurkovich then described how dialogue provides the basis for the pursuit of peace. Mutually enriching dialogue, he said, means all parties have the right to speak and the duty to listen. He said dialogue is possible because every person is imbued with human dignity and inspired with a ray of truth. Human dignity permits dialogue, he said, while the pursuit of truth makes way for an authentic encounter between various religious confessions. Dialogue, concluded Archbishop Yurkovich, is therefore the main instrument for achieving peace and fraternity, and ultimately makes God present in any human encounter. I'm Devin Watkins.
And finally, at the General Audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis turned his gaze to the prayer life of the early church as he continued his catechesis on prayer. Christopher Wells tells us more.
I primi passi della Chiesa nel mondo sono stati scanditi dalla preghiera.
The Church's first steps in the world were interspersed with prayer, the Pope said. The writings of the New Testament, and especially the Acts of the Apostles, gives us the image of an active Church on the move.
Ci restituiscono l'immagine di una Chiesa in cammino.
Yet, which gathered in prayer, finds the basis and impulse for missionary action. The Holy Father pointed out four essential characteristics of ecclesial life drawn from St. Luke's account in the Book of Acts. Listening to the Apostles' teachings, which involves preaching and catechesis, the continual quest for fraternal communion, the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist, which is the sacrament of Jesus' presence among us, and prayer, which is the space of dialogue with the Father through Christ in the Holy Spirit. Anything that arises outside of these coordinates, the Pope warned, is deprived of a foundation, deprived of ecclesiality. When these four characteristics are present, however, it is a guarantee of the Holy Spirit. Pope Francis said, reading the Acts of the Apostles,
scopriamo allora come il potente motore dell'evangelizzazione siano le riunioni di preghiera.
We discover what a powerful driving force of evangelization the prayer gatherings can be. In prayer, he explained, we experience Christ's presence among us and are touched by the Spirit. Prayer, the Pope said, immerses Christians in God's love for each and every person and provides the missionary impulse to preach the gospel to every human being. God is God for everyone, the Pope said, and in Jesus every wall of separation has definitively crumbled. The exchange of love, God's love for us, and the love he asks of us in return, is the mystical root of the believer's entire life, Pope Francis said. And both for the early Christians and for Christians today, prayer enables us to live that experience. Pope Francis said, it is only in the silence of adoration that we experience the full truth of these words. And this prayer is the living flame of the Spirit that gives strength to witness and mission.
E questa preghiera è il fuoco vivo dello Spirito che dà forza alla testimonianza e alla missione.
I'm Christopher Wells.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories and to hear this broadcast as a podcast, please be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks go to Vincenzo Prodo in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.